Now you must be taught what the Word says before you can have the great faith to receive from God. You must know what His promises are. Now you cannot go beyond knowledge on any subject. That's just like whenever I was going to become a pilot on an airplane. I mean, I used to build model airplanes at home. I loved airplanes from the time I was just a little kid. And then when I got to be a grown boy, I wanted to learn how to fly a real airplane. Did I have any knowledge about how to fly one? No, I'd flown them little bitty ones. You know, I remember that when I used to build those things, and I finally got to where I could build one that had a little gasoline engine on it and I built a little U-line on it. Nobody taught me any of the principles, and of course, I didn't read the instructions very well. So my sister would hold the little airplane, and I'd get it and hold the thing. I said, okay, sis, turn it loose. And I'd know that the elevator's supposed to go up to make it go up, so I would pull it like this, and it'd go, one crash. I sure did crash a lot of them. One day I was over in town going to fly one, and a guy saw me crash one, and he says, I had two of them. And he says, would you like for me to show you how to fly that so you don't crash it the first loop? I said, yeah, that would be wonderful. He said, just put your hand out there and hold it rigid. Don't pull up or down. I said, but I want it to go. He said, no, you don't want it to go up like that. He said, you want it to just lift off and fly. So he says, hold your hand stiff, pointed straight at the airplane, and as it starts, just hold it straight. He said, it'll lift off. He said, all you got to do is just move your whole arm up just an inch or so, and the airplane will lift off the ground. He said, when you get it, it'll fly right at the end of your hand. So he said, you just walk around like this. He said, when you get ready for it to land, he said, you start letting your hand down. Don't bend it down. Just let your hand down, and it'll just come down nice and smooth and land. Man, after that, I could fly. I thought, man, I get more than one flight out of one now. You see what knowledge does? Without knowledge, you got troubles, don't you? Well, I mean, when it started in the big boys, the big airplanes, the same way. I mean, the guy took me up the first day in a little Cessna 150, and after I watched him do all the things he did, he said, now put your hands on the wheel. Well, I put my hands on the wheel. He said, now pull back real gentle. Well, push it forward. And I think, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. You know, isn't it amazing how knowledge, and of course, it wasn't long, you know, that I'm flying, get a private license, then I get a commercial license, then I get an instrument rating, and then I get a flight engine or turboprop and all those ratings, and now I'm flying 4-engine jets all over the world and I'm doing things now. It's amazing, you know, how you can fly an airplane and make it look so easy. But it's knowledge. The Lord told us to get knowledge, did He not? Don't leave home without knowledge. Where do you get the kind of knowledge you need for about healing? From His Word. So we study everything in the world except His Word. I mean, the best-selling book in the world is the Bible, and the least read. We buy the Bible, or we give it to our children or our grandchildren, and they take it home and lay it on the shelf, and it collects dust. Nobody reads it. And when they do read it, they don't believe it. But when you read it, some people, even Christians, will say, well, I read some of it, but I didn't understand it. You know what? You're not spending enough time with God. If you start spending time with Him in that Word, talking to Him like He's really real, saying, Lord, I need revelation when I sit down here with this book. I need You to talk to me out of Your Word. I need to hear Your voice. Well, if you'll spend time like that, praying like that, I hope it don't take you as long as it did me, because I started reading and studying, and I spent from 5 to 15 hours every week reading and studying God's Word for about 10 years before He finally spoke to me the first time. Finally, I heard the audible voice of God. Now, you can't never be the same after the King speaks to you. After you hear Him. And then, of course, the second time that God spoke to me, first time was over my children, but the second time, He saved my life. And it's amazing what happens. Some of you have heard this story, but I was down in Houston, 9 o'clock on Monday morning. I was going to go by the corporate office and do my paperwork. I was a regional engineer, built buildings all over the country for this corporation, and I was going to go by there. And, of course, if you're a man and you open the box in your brain, the project, then you might as well forget the rest of them because they're all closed. So you just, men think about one thing. You know, we're on a goal here, and I had that box open of the project I was working on, and so I just drove right by the corporate headquarters, went right out there, and I went in there, and I was out there on the back of the lot, and I'm in under 20,000 pounds of steel, well supported. I'm in under there, and all of a sudden the Lord says, "Son, you forgot to do your paperwork this morning." I said, "Lord, and ain't nobody out there but me and him. But I can't see him." I said, "Lord, that's right. I forgot to do it. I was going to do it when I come by the corporate office, but I got to thinking about this project and I forgot it." I said, "Lord, I just like 15 minutes under here. I'll run right back over there and do it as soon as I finish here." He said, "No, son. I want you to go do your paperwork right now." Okay. So I just laid down the stuff I had in my hand and crawled out from under and stood up and took the second step. And at the second step, the supporting structure holding 20,000 pounds of steel exploded. And 20,000 pounds of steel was right on the ground, flat where I was 5 seconds before. If I hadn't have been obedient and done what he said, there wouldn't have been a greasy spot left of me. You know what a man looks like when a 20,000 pound load of steel hits flat on top of you? You know what a fly looks like when you mash it with a fly's water? About the same difference, right? That's just about the equivalent. It was over. It would have been over. But he wasn't. In fact, I backed up. I mean, after I finally regained my composure, because it rattled my cage, I don't mind telling you. When I finally backed up, I looked at that steel laying there. The dust had cleared. I said, "Lord, that scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19 has taken on a whole new meaning to me." Does anybody know what 1 Corinthians 6:19 says? Put that on the screen, Dave. Let's see what that says. 1 Corinthians 6:19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" You know, when you hear all kinds of people say, "Well, you know, a woman wants to have an abortion, it's her body. She can do what she wants to with it." That depends on whether she's a Christian or not. If she's a Christian, who does her body belong to? God. And if God says, "I hate those that shed innocent blood," should a Christian ever have an abortion? No. Technically speaking, should a Christian ever have sex outside of wedlock? No. Never. Never. Not one time. In fact, it's kind of scary when God says, "All those that are involved in sexual immorality, I, God, will judge that sin." So if you go out and commit sexual immorality, you might as well get ready to be judged by God. He's going to judge you. And then people wonder why they're sick. I can tell you one of the reasons is because we do what we're not supposed to do. Now, if God wasn't merciful, how many of us in this room would be alive today? Not none of us. You know, he would have killed us all. But his mercy is new every morning. And the beautiful part about God, he may let you get by with these kind of things for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, sometimes even 30 years. And then all of a sudden something comes upon you. And all you've done has been living in sin all your life. I mean, you went to church on Christmas and Easter. What else does God want? Give me a break. But he give you 20 or 30 years, and you only saw him or only went to church 2 or 3 or 4 times a year. When he says, "You're to put me first." If he wasn't merciful, you know, so I've told this a lot of times to people, you better be glad I'm not God, because I ain't near that merciful. If a man goes to work for me, now some of you guys are going to see yourself in what I'm going to tell you. If a guy goes to work for me, and he's the best man I ever had working, and he worked for me for a year, and he's the best one I ever had, and then I give him a week's vacation, and he likes that vacation so much, he says, "You know, I think I just stay off." He said, "I'm going to take another 2 or 3 weeks off. Just send me my paycheck home." I guess you're going to be merciful to send him the paycheck, huh?
No.
No, you're not. Gee, you're just like me. You're not merciful either. I mean, if I give that guy 1 week, that's all I'm going to give him, right? He better be back to work next Monday morning at 8 o'clock, if that's the time, and be ready to get with it, right?
Yeah.
Because I just got through paying him for a week of not being non-productive. He was out goofing off. But I give him that week. Now, if God was like that, when it comes to our sin, you know, if after 1 week of sin and God killed us, how many of us would be alive? None of us. After a year, 5 years, 10 years, think of your sin. But he's merciful. Are we glad? Then he says, you cannot go beyond knowledge on any subject. Then Romans 10, 17 tells us how faith comes. How do you develop your faith? Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do you learn that God's a Savior? Read his word. Hear it. Somebody tell you. You can go to any church, almost any church, especially a Baptist church, and you can hear about this wonderful Savior every Sunday. I mean, they can teach you about him every... I have heard tens of thousands of salvation messages in a Baptist church. Is that right? Is there any question Jesus is a Savior? No, if you've been a Baptist, I mean, it ain't no problem. I don't care if you're a 10-year-old kid. You've been going to that Baptist church all your life. Is Jesus a Savior? Yeah, absolutely. If my preacher preaches on it every Sunday, we know. Was he the healer? Well, I don't know. You go to that Baptist church, you didn't hear that. Isn't that amazing? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then after this, let's go to Romans 12:2, and let's see what you have to do before you can learn how to be healed. Romans 12:2. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's what we do as Christians. We go home instead of transforming our mind, renew our mind with the Word of God, we come in as Christians and we flip on the TV. Oh, my favorite soap opera is on this afternoon. So we watch two or three of those every day. Now, does people do that? Yeah. So what are you renewing? Your world, your lust, your mind, you're feeding into your mind and your heart the junk of the world.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Is Any Sick Among You? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.